Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads and grow your business fast.
There's a lot that's been happening right now between conversations on Kevin Stefanski. And as we talk about this entire coaching thing where a lot of people think that Kevin's just going to be fired at this point, and a lot of I feel like conversations around Kevin's job security in general, to the point where I look at these two games and I hear so many people throw out the idea that, the Haslams and ownership haven't made up their mind on whether or not, you know, they're moving on from Kevin Stefanski. And you've heard the Ian Rapoport report now that was on NFL Network that was throwing out just the idea of they haven't made an idea on Stefanski, but Barry's going to be a big part moving forward. And it's like, I can't help but sit here and think to myself, guys, at the point we're at in the season, you are 3-12. You have two games remaining that are against the Steelers, which we think is going to be a fully equipped Steelers team, but there is no guarantee on that at this point. And the Bengals, which I can almost guarantee the fact that Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe T. Higgins and some other guys probably not playing in that game, because why risk their health for a season that is also lost down in Cincinnati? And I sit here and I'm like, okay, if we're saying we haven't made up our mind on Kevin Stefanski, either ownership right now is some of the most indecisive people in the world who are just basically can't decide what they want to do, or that decision is just made up and they're telling you it's not because there's two games left. That's kind of the point that we're at, because if we're looking at Kevin, again, even if you go through and you rattle off two wins against the Steelers and the Bengals, is that going to be the difference in the season that goes through and actually saves your job? I'm sorry that I sit here and I struggle to think that that's impossible. Like, does it really make a difference if we've watched the quarterback carousel, we've watched this team been undisciplined, we've watched the defense be what it is, and then the offense turn around and be everything that it has been, and then go, I don't know, Kevin might be leaning towards firing him at 3-12, but my God, he finished the season 5-12. We are all good now. We've pushed ourselves further back in the draft. We still didn't make the playoffs this season. We probably still finish at or near the very bottom of the AFC North, and pretty low in the AFC as well, and just low in the NFL standings. It's like, yeah, no, this is exactly what we were hoping for. You still fall below short of expectations. You still don't reach where Vegas had you projected at to start the year. And this is a team that has sat here at the beginning of the season and over and over again told people how many times this team's better than people think it is, right? We were going to perform better than people think we will. Vegas has it wrong. And we have just been proven time and time again this season that you're right. Vegas was wrong. They actually gave you far too much credit. Like, they were expecting you to somehow find any semblance of success with Joe Flacco, and instead we found absolutely none. You found a complete season of disappointment that felt like a lot of this has been building towards nothing. Right, like, great rookie class, you're trying to figure out your quarterback right now, but for the most part, the answers that you have are, yeah, defense, still really good, offense, still really bad, special teams, atrocious. You haven't built towards a ton this year other than you've developed some rookies and you're trying to figure out the quarterback. That's really it. this hasn't even been a great fact-finding mission that we thought it was. So I can't sit here and act like two games at the end of the year that might be against backup quarterbacks, that if the Browns can rattle them off and if they can prove something in these two games, it is the miracle above all that saves Kevin Stefanski's job. Now, Albert Breer was on yesterday, right here on Afternoon Drive, and chimed in what these two games actually mean moving forward for not just Kevin, but also Andrew Berry.
I don't know if a clean sweep is coming. It doesn't sound that way anyway. And, you know, I think at this point, like if you're, you know, if you're Jimmy, if you're, you know, that the people who are in Jimmy's ear and talking to him on this stuff, you've already had some of these discussions of what this looks like after the season. And that's, you know, I think a lot of that stuff is gonna incorporate everything that's happened thus far. I just don't know at the end of a 3-12 season what you're going to show in the last 2 weeks that's going to blow you away. They haven't given up. You know, at the very least, this feels like it's the end of something. And, you know, what level of change that is remains to be seen. Is that Berry stays, Stefanski goes? Is that, you know, Berry is moved into a different sort of role as part of a restructure? I think there are a bunch of different outcomes on the table. And I don't know that Jimmy really knows what he's going to do yet.
I just struggle to, like, again, if you're in this position of power where you are in charge of basically the firing and the hiring of your GM and your head coach, and Berry can be tossed into this conversation too, because I think Berry fits here. But if you're telling me you got two games left to go in the season, and I'm not saying you have to be fully committed, Kevin Stefanski is going to be fired when this season ends. Because I think if you're fully committed to that answer 100% of the way and there's nothing that can change it, I know the Browns don't really believe in this, and we've seen that over the last 2 years, but my God, just fire the guy now. There is no real point in going through and having Kevin hold that position if you know he's just a dead man walking. But I get it. You have to put in an interim head coach. And if you're going to make that Jim Schwartz, well, chances are if you give Jim Schwartz a head coaching position for two games, then don't give him back the next year, there might be a chance that Jim Schwartz isn't back here next year. I understand how the politics of this all basically arrange. But if you're telling me that I'm not looking at an ownership group right now, a front office that isn't staring at both their GM and their head coach and going, I'm pretty much 98% sure of the way of exactly what I'm going to do, and it might as well be 100. I just don't think that there's two games. We talk about two games not being enough for, you know, Shedeur Sanders to prove whether or not that he can be the quarterback of the future, let alone two games be enough for you to change what you've seen for 6 years in both your GM and your head coach. There is a thought process that you have about those guys right now. And it's not to say that you're down on Kevin if you're Jimmy Haslam and you think he's a terrible coach, but there is the feeling that I think a lot of Browns fans have, which, I don't know, personally, I don't think Kevin's a terrible coach. I think Kevin's actually a really good coach when he has the talent to coach. The problem is with the Cleveland Browns right now, you don't have the talent to coach, and you've won 6 games over 2 seasons. Again, the writing's kind of on the wall. Like, I don't think if you're looking around that there should be any question about whether or not, okay, I think he's a good coach, but clearly it's not working here. I'm trying to find the solution that two games gives you. That's really what I'm trying to find out. Like, what can you show me? Other than the fact that this team has continued to fight, which I will give them the pat on the back. I thought they gave up on Kevin in the Chicago game. They clearly proved that on Sunday when they played Buffalo. That was not the case. That team came out and they played hard. And they were playing hard for the head coach in front of them. They were playing hard for the organization. There was no doubt that this team is still invested in the season and still trying to earn a win on every single Sunday that they roll out there. Congratulations. They continue to fight for you. That only goes so far. My coach doesn't lose a locker room. That's a really good bar. But at some point, it doesn't matter whether or not you win or lose a locker room if you just can't hold on to the job. Right, if you can't get the job done and you can't put wins on the board, it's what my head coach is judged by. You are only a reflection of what the product you put out there is. And right now, through 6 years, you're looking at Kevin Stefanski, who has a sub-500 record. His best seasons came in a miracle from Joe Flacco and a team that he took over that was not built by either him or the GM that was in place with him. And everything since has just spiraled. And some of that out of Kevin's control, some of that not. But that's the part where it just doesn't matter right now. Like, it doesn't necessarily matter if this was fully within Kevin's control. It doesn't matter if Kevin's sitting there and thinking to himself, well, you know, I didn't want Deshaun Watson. I didn't want this to go down this way. I haven't had the quarterback that I truly wanted to run this team under. I can guarantee you there's a lot of head coaches that don't get their quarterbacks, and there's a lot of head coaches that their GMs don't put them in the most beautiful situation in the world. And you know what happens to those head coaches? They get fired because it's a product business. And right now, whether the Browns end 3-14, between that and 5-12, the product was still a disappointment, and the product was still bad, and there's nothing you can show other than, hey, maybe I can kind of develop a quarterback that's going to let you keep your job. There's coaches that can develop quarterbacks. There's coaches that can put wins on the board, and there's coaches that can elevate their team to play above the level at which their talent says they can. This team was not expected to win games, and when you fall short, those are the results that you get. Guys get fired. People get held accountable. But right now, even if you go through and you waxed a fully healthy, fully active Pittsburgh Steelers team, and you went out there and won by 40, and then you beat the Bengals the same way the next week, like, your chance to show your job has just passed itself. You had the last 15 games to go out there and show what this team can do, show that they can get better every single week. And for the most part, I feel like this team has not only not improved every single week, it somehow feels like on a week-to-week basis, they've trended in the wrong direction. I'm not going to say they're worse week after week, because that obviously wasn't the case the last 2 weeks, but there's a lot of weeks that I can point to where it's like, this team hasn't improved. They've just continued to get worse. And it's like, you're playing lesser competition. I'm losing to the Jets. And it's like, not even a one-off feeling. That's the same thing that's been killing you all year long. 216-474-0092. Are you buying that a decision hasn't been made yet on Kevin Stefanski, that his job is not decided? You can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake as well. You can get to us on the Afternoon Drive X page over there at Afternoon 923 FAN. So we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys later on in the show. Quick Hits is coming your way at 2:40. We talk to Ashley Bastock coming up at 3:20 of Cleveland.com. We're going to talk to Cash Lovett. Coming up in the 3:40 segment, closer to 3:50. We're going to talk to Daryl in the 5 o'clock hour, the lead, in case we missed it, all the good stuff. But right now, 216-474-0092. Are you buying that a decision hasn't been made yet on Kevin Stefanski? We're going to get to your calls, more on Kevin, all coming back here in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here until 7, filling in for Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive. I don't understand how you have 2 games left to go. Like, this is the equivalent of, if I have a contract that's running up in a month and I've been working here for almost 2 years, do we not think if people know if that contract's being renewed, or do we think they're sitting there going, I don't know, either we dislike Jake, but maybe he turns it around this month and really changes our idea on him, or, we really like Jake, but man, that last month, not good. He's gone. We don't think he's got it anymore. Like, no, probably over the course of the last 23 months, you've made up your decision. It's the same thing here. You've had over 5 years. You're pushing 6 full seasons. To just have your full evaluation of what Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, by the way, are completely, and then making your mind up on them. I just don't know how we sit here and continue to act like, oh, well, nobody's made up their minds. Well, you probably might want to come to that conclusion soon, because these might just be 2 games that don't matter. And if it's 2 games that don't matter, then whatever decision you were leaning towards is going to be the decision that you make. There's not going to be anything that shows you it. Congratulations. Myles Garrett wants to go out there and fight hard for a sacks record, or if the offensive line really wants to battle in those final 2 games, yeah, I would have liked to see that in week 1. I would have liked to see that in week 10. When you get to week 17 and 18, it doesn't exactly mean the same. It means a little bit, but this point in the season, it just doesn't. And I've been sticking to the belief, I think we've been here for a while now, that Kevin probably is getting fired. I don't see how you move forward. Jimmy has himself said that 3 wins is not going to be good enough, and they know what better will look like. I'm not going to imagine that this year is what better will look like. This was probably not the vision that he had in his mind. So you continue to push forward here, and it's like, you're going to have to find somebody else. You're going to have to move on and find someone. And there's been a million names thrown out. Robert Saleh. I know Nick really likes Adam Stenovich, so I'll toss his name in there for the fun of it right now. But there's a million different names you can turn to that you say will or won't be a better head coach than Kevin Stefanski moving forward. I just think the part of this that I dislike is whether with or without Shedeur Sanders, and this is truly with or without him, that we sit here and act like, and I've heard so many people, and both, you know, you guys calling into the show on social media, I've heard insiders, beat writers, everybody under the sun somebody has mentioned the fact that I don't know that this job really is one that a ton of head coaches are going to be looking out for, and it's going to be one that they're desiring to get. To which I just look around and I don't understand that at all either. Like, am I saying that this is the best situation on the planet? No, absolutely not. Most head coaching jobs that come available are not great situations. Like, even right now, you go to the other teams that are available. Tennessee certainly isn't a great situation. One, they fire head coaches like they change their underwear. They just go back and forth of moving guys out at this point, and you give them a year and some change, and then they're gone when you look at the roster and say, it's just not good enough. I can't imagine people are thinking New York's a great situation. They have a couple of things to work with. A quarterback they draft in the first round, that there's still questions on. A defense that's okay, that could still need some help. But you look across to the Browns, and it's like, hey, there's the aspect that, yes, this is one of 32 jobs that are going to be available in the NFL. That alone makes it a desirable job, that there's going to be people lining up waiting to take that opportunity. It's not like the Browns are going to, you know, post this job over on LinkedIn and be like, oh, it's been up for 2 weeks and we haven't gotten an answer on it. Nobody's replied. There's going to be people lining up out the door to go in and take the opportunity to have this job. But I think even within NFL circles, you have to look at this and think that there's...
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At least some interest, I think, from a lot of coaches, that even I look at the other teams where jobs either already are available or are going to be available, and think that there's probably a higher desire to be coaching the Browns, to be the head coach here, and think that that actually matters. Albert Breer weighed on this as well when he was on yesterday with Nick and JP and talked about whether or not this job would be a coveted position.
I mean, there's only 32, right? Like, so like, there's that piece of it. They don't have a long-term answer quarterback right now. So that might put them behind, you know, a team like the Giants, a team like the Titans, depending on what you think of Dart or Ward. But there is young talent on hand now, and you do have two first-round picks. So I think there is the opportunity, if you're a young coach, to go in there and sort of create your own thing. You know, like, you're not inheriting a ton of pieces that you can't do anything with. For me, if I was a candidate, I would look at it and I'd say a really good class going into its second year, two first-round picks, a couple of veteran star players, ownership that's willing to spend and do what it takes to win, like, despite, you know, things having gone sideways over the course towards their ownership. And so from there, it would kind of come down to, am I comfortable with Andrew Berry? And am I comfortable with the structure that they're setting up? Can I bring in somebody on the personnel side that has the same vision as me? I think those would all be questions that you'd be asking if you were a coach looking at that job and you had options maybe other places.
So I think Albert lays out a couple of really good points. One, I think that you do just look at this job at some degree. And even if you're an offensive mind looking at this, I think there's something there. I think the easiest argument to make is if you're a defensive guy. Like if you're a defensive head coach that he would be offered this opportunity to take this, you're talking about taking over a Super Bowl level defense. There's not going to be many things where you look at the defensive side of the ball and go, man, that guy is just not doing it right. And that's probably with or without Jim Schwartz, by the way. I strongly prefer with. But even if it was a scenario where, you know, maybe Jim doesn't want to be a coordinator under a new coach, maybe Jim's getting looks at other head coaching jobs and it's not here, I think you just look around and you go, okay, this is a defense we can make work. Jim Schwartz has laid out the game plan already. There's already an understanding of what this team needs to do, and you can make some tweaks and adjustments, but that group is pretty set up. And then you have to hire somebody in place to work with the offense. But I even think from an offensive side of things, yeah, you think you'd turn around right now on the offense and even ask yourself, like, if you're an offensive head coach, I know that there's a, you know, basically stigma around the Haslams right now that they run through teams, they meddle, and all of this, they run through head coaches, excuse me, and they meddle in operations and everything else. And that is the, like, just standing idea that people believe. But at the same time, I think with the regime that's here right now, they've proven that there's patience. They've proven that they want a level of consistency and a level of continuity. So I think if you're a head coach looking in, there's a good chance that you're not just getting, you know, basically one-and-done opportunity that you're fired. Maybe if, you know, there was an internal hire, God forbid I mentioned Tommy Reese's name at this point. I know a lot of people throw that one far away. Or even Jim Schwartz. Like, maybe that opportunity could be shorter. You're bringing in full new, like, just fresh leash of a head coach. There's a good chance if they really like that guy, there's also a leash for him to not be a one-and-done head coach. And if you're an offensive mind, you have all of the opportunity in front of you. Yes, it is a work in progress. Yes, there are a lot of things you need to clean up. But you have very few guys on this roster that you should be deathly attached to. If I want to go change out pieces, if I want, you know, different type of players brought in, if I want to change the entire offensive scheme to run nothing like it is right now, you pretty much have the freedom to do so. You have the opportunity, if so desired, and that's the route they want to move, to draft a quarterback. Or if you're a coach that likes Shedeur Sanders and think you can work with that, sure, you can move forward in that direction too. But I think the thing that would have been so hard about this team in taking over if Kevin would have been fired last year is that you looked at the offensive line and you go, that offensive line is built to do one thing, other than get injured. They're also kind of built to do that. But they're built to go through and move forward in a way that is, okay, they're going to run the schemes that are built on a Kevin Stefanski offense and is built on a run-heavy offense. They have a very particular strength about them. And I think that's why, in part, why you look at even going back to the 2024 season and go, well, that just didn't work. But you asked a lot of offensive linemen to do things that they're not good at, playing an offense that they haven't been playing in and playing an offense that is, for a lot of their play styles, a little bit more uncomfortable than what they would like. It would have been the same case had you walked in this year. There was no way, like, sure, Joel Bitonio could have retired, but you were also talking about, you're not moving on from DeJuan Jones. He's still going to be here. Jack Conklin was under contract. He wasn't moving. Same thing with Wyatt Teller. Same thing with Ethan Posick. Like, you had the guys already in place. Now your entire offensive line is basically scrapped. The wide receiver room is basically scrapped. And my God, if you can't find a way to work with Quinshon Judkins and Harold Fannin, and you can't find a way to find something in a way for those guys to work in your offense, a lot of questions on the offensive mind that you are. That's two guys with a lot of talent that you can just work with. Again, I just don't see the problem in this job being such a downer. I think that as long as you're under the understanding that this probably isn't a one and done, because this team's not going to the Super Bowl next year, there's a good chance they're not going to be built to move to a playoff next year. I'd be very surprised if they were. You're telling me I get multiple years, I'm probably going to get a leash to take over this team, build it in more of a way that I want. And oh, I have two first round picks and I'm still holding on to a lot of my higher draft capital as well. And I can work with my GM to get players in here that we like, that are going to fit the scheme that I want to run. I think you have a lot better of a chance of making this thing pan out, making this thing work. And I think in a lot of head coaches' view, it would be a little bit of a fresh slate. Like, okay, I get to build this thing the way that I want it. I actually get to build this thing from the ground up in a way that's not just completely disastrous to me. Like, I'm not taking over the Titans job where, sure, maybe they have their quarterback, and that's a strong maybe, but I basically have nothing else. Like, I have to build the offense and the defense simultaneously, and no matter what minded head coach I am, whether I'm on the offensive or defensive side of the ball, we're going to have to prioritize both of those at the same time, or really get one working and have to figure out the other one later. This is the beauty, is you have a defense that is set in place. Here's the money you have to work with. Go figure out what you can do. I think that's a beautiful thing that a lot of people overlook that actually makes this job a lot more desirable than you might think. Again, it's not a perfect situation. I'm not saying that everybody would be dying to flock to the Browns head coaching job like this is, you know, 2020 all over again. But I do think that this is a team that isn't that bad to take over as far as head coaching opportunities go. Have one side of the ball already hammered down. I would think that's a pretty good thing. 216-474-0092. Is the Browns head coaching job more desirable than we think? Let's go out to the phones. Mike is in Snow. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, happy holidays, Jake. How you doing, man? I talked to you during the day.
Yeah, it's a very nice happy holidays to you too, Mike. What do you got? Yeah.
So I think we've talked enough to realize I'm not for firing Kevin yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mainly because it's like I'm one of these, people that believes that you better have your solution ready before you create a bigger problem than you currently have. And I've heard a lot of names kicked around in the station, you know, Saleh, Shaw, you know, the guy from Green Bay, sorry, the court, you know.
Yeah, Stanovich,
yeah. Yeah, Stanovich, I'm sorry, the hot coordinator of the month right now. And look, it's just when you really have to think about, okay, let's fire Kevin Stefanski. he is dealing with what Andrew Berry has given him. And I really believe that when he has had better talent, he has shown that he can coach a team up, mainly at quarterback. The year that Baker and the year of Joe were the two best years, and that was solidity at quarterback that we haven't had in any of those other years, including our offensive line on those 2 years played very, very well as something that we got to point to as well as being a big issue. And that has been through draft attrition. It started with Jedrick Wills way back. You know, our left tackle of that draft should be on his second contract or going on to his third and being ready to go to the Hall of Fame, you know, if he had taken worse at that point. But it's just, and I think it's been a constant, you know, then losing the first rounders, it's been a constant deterioration of ability to put good talent in those two spots, receiver and offensive line, like you pointed to. So, look, I'm just going to say like this. I think the job is attractive, but I also think that it isn't necessary. I don't think the job's up for go just yet. I think the team is still fighting, but if you make me, you put a gun to my head and you make me pick a guy that's available right now, not a guy that I want to pull from somebody else, or it'd be Flores, maybe, because of his ability to be a strong leader at the point of attack and the point where, like, you know, kind of organize both sides and a defensive-minded coach. Not the flavor of the month. I'm just not into some of those other retreads, but I don't want to give up Ken Stefanski for anybody who's available right now. I just want to see maybe one more year of better at both sides. I think they're both learning. I just know we just don't have enough. I think Andrew Berry made a lot of gains in his draft. I mean, I just don't think it's rocking the boat right now. They got one more year to show they can really make the arc up development and draft. Then they got something to think about. But I just think right now who's available isn't better. Thanks, Jake.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate the call, Mike. I mean, there are things that I agree with. Like, I do think that Kevin didn't get a great team handed to him. I do think there's a lot of things that you have to push towards that are, you know, like if I look at the team Kevin was given, no. Do I think that he got the best deal? Absolutely not. Was he given a lot to work with? No, not really. I also do think that there comes a point where, again, your record speaks for itself and what it is, and there's only so many times. And the guys continue to fight, and I'll give Kevin credit for that until the day that he's out of here. But there's only so many times you can hear that message played over and over and over again and watch the same result come onto the field time and time again before that message just runs stale, before that message does not mean the same thing that it meant, and before that guy clearly shows he can't elevate the players around him. Kevin's a good coach. If you left him here for another 2 years and you built an offense around him, I have no doubt that the Browns probably could turn this thing back around. Reality is that you can't continue to employ a guy who doesn't get the job done. So I think that's where I kind of go, but I agree with you. Job is coveted. I think that people would want it. And you guys can chime in on that. Again, 216-474-0092. Is the Browns head coaching job more desirable than we think? Coming up here in 5 minutes, we'll bring in Jake Murren, our good friend, and get to Quick Hits right here. It's Jake Volnick with you guys on Afternoon Drive.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear.
Hurry, hurry!
It's Quick Hits.
Jake, what's going on?
Hey, Jake, how's it going?
We're doing good. I feel like I had to talk to you before I just started randomly spitting off a random sports thing that we're going to react to here. So, very nice to have you in. Very good to talk to you.
Yeah,
today.
That's about the third time we've done the whole Jake and Jake bit. So,
yeah,
that's always fun too.
That'll just be a fun part here. I don't know that we sound enough like each other that people are going to be mistaken. That's probably more of the me JP route that people talk about. But
and it's the looks too.
Yeah.
Whenever people are in front of us, they always make the comparison. So,
I'll tell you what, we can start right here. Alfonso, caller and from New York, he commonly calls into this show, my show as well. He tweeted at me. In the burger bet video that was posted on the afternoon drive Twitter account, where Coach Riz paying his burger bet up to Nick, he added me and said, "Is that you in the backwards hat?"
I did see this.
To the point where I didn't respond, but I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, I feel like this should be offensive to you. Like, I got a good, like, I mean, I don't know what you weigh, but I have a good chunk of pounds on you and definitely a good chunk of weight. You should be offended. Very slightly, you should be offended.
I didn't take offense to it. Just in the moment, I was like, I even went to your ex account, viewed your profile picture, then went to mine and viewed mine. And I'm like, I understand how we look similar. But if you watch that video on the Afternoon Drive account and then just take an extra 3 seconds to actually see what we look like, I think it'd be pretty clear that that's me and not you in that video.
Listen,
and it makes more sense for me to be in an Afternoon Drive pre-show meeting than it does you on any given day.
By a long shot. And maybe that's part of just, I mean, you're not in most of the videos. People might not know what you
that's
look
fair.
Like exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, I'm sitting around and I'm like, okay, yeah, we're blonde, with a little bit of red in the beard. We wear glasses. I get it. I've also never, I don't wear hats. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I'm the backwards hat guy.
Yeah.
So if there's a video of anybody in a backwards hat, it's most likely me. I mean, I know Nick does too, but when it comes to people that look like us, backwards hat, you can guarantee that's me and not you.
If they get you and Nick confused, then
I will be offended.
You will be offended.
Yes.
For I mean, so there's just not even a comparison. It's not even close.
Omaha! All right, Jake, despite a 141-118 win over the Pelicans last night, Cavs head coach Kenny Atkinson needed an in-game reminder from one of his players on just how to have fun out there.
So I got upset today. I think we went from, you know, we were up 23, and I think they cut it to 18 there in the fourth quarter, and I started to get upset. And Darius hit me on the cheek like this, you know, just to remind me, like, you know, I get uptight sometimes. And, you know, he's like, smile, you know, like, so it is a kid's game, and there's got to be joy in the game. And so, you know, so, as a coach, sometimes you can lose sight of that. But DG's kind of the one that reminds me, like, kid's game, enjoy this thing.
Does it feel like the vibes are really just all the way back with this Cavs team after just back-to-back wins at home?
I mean, they got to be back a little bit in some degree, because I think there's a good message there of like, yeah, this is probably a team that's been uptight. I mean, clearly, they have not looked like they've been having fun prior to these two games. You get a couple of wins on the board. You're up by 18. It's like, hey, I get it. Like, your job is to keep us in line, but at the same time, we are up 18 still. Like, we are in a really good spot to the point where you don't have to blow up. I don't know that I can say they're fully back because you beat the Hornets and the Pelicans. You should beat the Hornets and the Pelicans. You should have been beating up on the Hornets and the Pelicans probably last week.
And the Bulls before that, yeah.
Yeah, like, there was a lot of games there where you weren't beating up on anybody. So I'm not going to say they're fully back. They could get waxed tomorrow by the New York Knicks, and they probably go down a little bit. But it's definitely a good sign. I'm going to push towards this is a much better thing than not.
And it helps when you score, what was it, 130-plus against the Hornets and then 141 last night against the Pelicans. Those shots are going through. That has to build confidence. But even looking at the bench in a game like last night when it does look like these guys are having fun, there's a different energy behind them from that three-game losing streak, from losing 7 of their last 10 to having all these conversations on hot seat talk and is the roster still together, just having the wins actually count and matter, and it leads to at least some excitement for tomorrow's Christmas Day show.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Yeah, at least a little bit. They were missing everything under the sun, so I think we have to at least get a little excited when they can shoot 40% from three in a game.
Omaha!
All right, Phillip Rivers, right back to his old ways, was mic'd up and, I mean, just sounded like the old Phillip Rivers that everyone remembers from 5 years ago. Audio courtesy of Inside the NFL.
Hey, that's bullcrap! That's bullcrap! Don't start that! Hey, don't start that mess!
Rivers has a free shot, throws into the end zone, touchdown!
Go! Heck yeah, baby! Let's go! Dadgummit!
Am I the only person who gets really bothered by the fact of Phillip Rivers just like, I don't know, acting like, I mean, I know he's got a lot of kids, but he acts like they're right in front of him at all times. He just, he refuses to be a man of a little bit of just, I don't know, like, it's funny, but at the same time, like, it gets stale for me.
Man, it's fun. I love Phillip Rivers when he gets mic'd up and you get moments like these. It's so weird because he's, what, 40 plus years old? I'm not sure what his exact age is.
Now.
44. He's a grandfather. And I feel weird calling him endearing, but it kind of is endearing. Like, you know how you have older people and like people are like, oh, that's such a cute thing that they did. And it's just because they're old. I feel like we're getting to that territory right now with Phillip Rivers saying, let's stink and go. Should we do like LSG instead? Like, what are we doing here with Phillip Rivers? It's been a fun couple of games with him as the Colts quarterback, but don't ever change. I enjoyed this persona from him.
I'm so out on it. I'm saying it just becomes so stale. Like, there are really good moments that he has, but at the same time, it's like, well, you're an NFL quarterback. Like, you can let loose a little bit. Like, you can say something more than let's stink and go. It reminds me too much of Fernando Mendoza. I think that's the problem. It's just like full-blown nerd. Like, we're national flipping champions. Like, no, you get away with swearing on national television there. You really do.
Phillip has more country to him, though.
He does.
Mendoza's full classroom nerd. That is his entire persona and character. The Spurs handed the Thunder their fourth loss of the season last night. It's actually the second time that San Antonio has beat OKC. Well, Victor Wembanyama thought now would be a good time to introduce a victory celebration to his hometown crowd.
I would like with my teammates to introduce a little new tradition that we've been working on with the Jackals over there. So please, everybody, arms up in the air, spread your arms. Everybody spread your arms.
All right, so it's essentially a Skull Vikings chant, but Wemby just hits the drum twice at midcourt and they clap. Rate the new celebration for San Antonio.
I mean, I like this kind of like a six. I think it's really basic. It's kind of boring. Also, this is like a victory celebration. Like, I'm all for it. Do something. Everyone's kind of got their own thing. I think this would be so much more intimidating if you were doing this before the game started, rather than, oh, we won the game, let's all clap together. No, you just did that for the last 3 hours.
Right.
We all just sat there and clapped and watched the game. You do this before, it gives you a little bit of chills walking into the arena. Like, if this was right before introductions, I'd be all in. The fact that you got to wheel out the drum after the game's over, people have to stay in their seats.
That's it, right there.
I kind of lose it.
That you have to stay for it because people already leave early to avoid traffic at sporting events all the time. But now you're going to have people be like, yeah, but we have to stay because they're going to hit the drum twice. And that means we have to clap afterward. And it's going to be so much fun. I don't know if we need post-game victory celebrations in the NBA. Like, I know the Kings had the light the beam meme, yeah, and that, like, was all fun and good.
That's also cool because it's outside the stadium.
Yes, that I'm all for. But this idea of having to wheel the drum out and then hit it, and it's a total ripoff of what the Vikings do with the skull chant anyway. Lack of creativity here, and I just don't think it's all that great.
All right, bring it to basketball. I like the fact that we're doing something because right now you have just about nothing, and it adds a little something, so that's why I gave it a 6, but yeah, it lacks a lot.
And Wendy was like, we spent a lot of time working on this. Yeah. Yeah, how much time did it take you to come up with that celebration?
Guys, we're going to hit the drum twice, they're going to clap, and then we're going to speed it up. Never done before, just everywhere else in the world of sports.
Yeah, this is a thing. Omaha!
All right, let's go to the DK Metcalf incident. Obviously suspended 2 games, that was upheld on his appeal. News coming down now that the fan will have no recourse. There will be nothing pushed down on the fan for the interaction as well. Does this feel like a lack of investigation coming out from the NFL in this entire thing?
Yeah, you definitely feel like the fan should be accountable for something.
Especially because of the whole prior incident in Seattle with DK. I just can't feel like that's absolutely nothing.
Right. Like, this is without a doubt a horrible fan. And I feel comfortable saying that with the history involved and then what happened last Sunday in Detroit. It's a horrible fan, and you can criticize DK for even going in there in the first place and engaging with that. And I feel bad because my whole perspective of this situation has kind of changed with that $45 million guarantee in DK's future contract just being gone now because of the suspension. That is absolutely brutal, but there should have been something for this fan. And it doesn't excuse what DK did, but I don't think like a lifetime ban, I think, would probably be in order for this fan, at least something to keep them accountable to.
Yeah. Or like, I don't know, guy can't buy tickets to the lower bowl, something, right? Like, you got to keep him away from, like, and listen, we don't know if the allegations that were threw out against the fan were true or not, but the fact that you are having things that go up that bother a player enough. And yes, I agree with you. DK shouldn't have been over. I mean, it's during the game. You don't need to be over in the stands. Oh my God. I mean, the fact that he just walks away scot-free, there was clearly something done. And then the fan was cheering after it happened. Like, he had a goal in mind, and a goal that I feel like we should not be promoting for the fans to have.
And it just uplifts the fan too, because isn't this exactly what that fan wanted?
Exactly.
And can't this fan who has, again, proven that they're a bad fan, has history proving that as well, he can go around now saying, yeah, I cost DK Metcalf $45 million. Look at me. And that's not going to stop him or anybody else doing the same thing in the future.
It's going to encourage the behavior, if nothing else.
Exactly.
All right, Jake, good stuff out of you. When we come on back, we are going to climb into the Cavs because a Christmas Day game that once felt really, really cool and a big moment to be back now feels a little bit less than that. You get to do it in 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick in for Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.